From the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to them, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by God, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before God in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before God in heaven." Oh, I wish I could have offered those words to Christine, the young ingenue of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera. When saying, "The Phantom of the Opera is here inside my mind," I would have said, "Of course he is. The Phantom is always in your mind." The Phantoms stay inside in the dark recesses, where they can act upon you without any interference. The secret, Christine, is to get them out of your head, out of the dark, and into the light.
Nighttime sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness stirs and wakes imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses, helpless to resist the notes I write. For I compose the music of the night. Let your mind start a journey through a strange new world. Leave all thoughts of the life you knew before. Let your soul take you where you long to be. Intoxication, touch me, trust me, savor each sensation. Let the dream begin, let your darker side give in to the power of the music that I write. The power of the music of the night.
Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body. Christine, I would have said, you are living in a hell of your own making, allowing the phantom to destroy your soul, believing his deceiving words that you are nothing without him, that your voice, your essence, your agency, yourself are nothing without him. It's not true, Christine. The truth is that two sparrows are sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by God. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Bring the phantoms into light, especially in this time of quarantine, when they whisper or sometimes scream to you, you are not enough. You are nothing. You need me to survive. Whether those words come from someone or something, alcohol, pills, sex, food, money, the first thing to do is to bring them out into the light of God's love, into the light of a trusted friend or family member, a pastor, a deacon, a therapist, especially now when you are missing your communities, your sanctuary, your congregation, your work team. Because the phantoms always thrive in the dark, where you are trying to wrestle with them alone. But I'm ahead of myself. I should have begun with a story. It's very simple, really, in spite of the complexities of the subplots. The Phantom of the Opera is a man who has spent his adult life hiding in the deep, dark spaces beneath a grand opera house. He has, through the years, come to control the management of the opera house, whose only interest is money, and uses his control to propel his student and love interest, Christine, into the opera's starring soprano role. Christine is intrigued and insecure and dependent upon this mysterious teacher who has taught her to sing, even though she has never seen him, and continues to move toward him. When Raoul, a childhood friend of Christine, sees form at the opera, the love they had from childhood is rekindled, and Raoul and the Phantom begin to duel, literally and figuratively, for Christine. There is a moment in the musical when the Phantom has not appeared at the opera house in several months, and the patrons and performers all believe that his reign of terror has passed. To celebrate, they hold a masked ball, a masquerade. Of course, this is an opportunity made for the masked Phantom. And he shows up with a set of demands. You know we can't pass up the opportunity to talk about masks.
Masquerade, hide your face, so the world will never find you. Masquerade, every face a different shade. Masquerade, look around, there's another mask behind you.
Flash of mauve, splash of puce, fool and king, ghoul and goose, green and black, queen and priest, trace of rouge, face of beast. Faces, take your turn, take a ride on the merry-go-round. In an inhuman race.
I am blue, true is false, blue, curl of lips, swirl of gown, ace of hearts, face of clown.
Faces,
drink it in, drink it up, till you drown in the light, in the sound.
But who can name the face? Masquerade! Green, yellow, spinning brass. Masquerade! Take your fill of the spectacle, must sound you. Masquerade! Burning glances, turning heads. Masquerade, soft and stare at the sea of smiles around you. Masquerade!
I have preached several times on wearing masks, on the hiding that we do behind our masks. Never in a million years could I have guessed that I would be preaching a sermon that talked about masks during a time when a large part of the world is wearing masks. Not the figurative masks I usually talk about, but real, literal masks. This pandemic has given me the opportunity to think differently about masks. In the past, I often talked about the masks that we wear, the ones we hide our features and our feelings behind, the ones we wear for false bravado, the ones we wear to conceal our fears and insecurities, the ones we wear to conceal ourselves from others. But today, in light of this new reality of literal mask wearing, I want to come at this from a different angle. I've heard many people remark on the fact that when they wear a mask, people cannot tell if they are smiling or frowning. People don't know what's going on behind the mask. Some of you have taken to wearing cloth masks with clear inserts so that people can see your smile. Others are offering a wave or a hello or another friendly greeting while their facial expressions are hidden by their masks. Today, I want to take that concern and turn it outward. I want to remind everyone that while we are all wearing masks, it is difficult for us to see each other's faces, to see each other's facial expressions. Difficult to see if their masks are covering a smile, a frown, a look of worry, a hint of depression. It's time to be more kind, more tender, more in tune to the vibrations of others' spirits. When they say, "I'm fine," but you sense that they are not, offer an invitation like this: "I'm glad to hear that you're fine." If you ever feel not fine, I hope you'll share that not fine feeling with me. I hope you know you can offload some of the worry, the grief, the anger, whatever it is, with me. We can share the burden. And some may need a clearer invitation. They may assume that what they need, what they want, what they have to share is too much. When they voice those concerns, like, "I've leaned on you an awful lot lately," promise them that if it becomes too much to help share, too much to help carry, not to carry, but help carry, that you will let them know that you need a break, that you'll be back, but you need a break. This will give them the confidence that they can truly share what they're going through with you. And trust me, we're all going through it, through something. Worry, loneliness, boredom, loss of income and the loss of self-esteem that might come with it. Heavens, some of us are even going through the guilt of being okay. We're all going through something, especially while we cannot be together physically. I urge you to reach out. Friends, today we end our Broadway series. It's been a strange one, hasn't it? And I want to end today with what I usually say at the beginning of the Broadway series. Here's what I would have said to you that first Sunday in July if we had been together in the sanctuary. I would have said, just like always, people have come here to worship this month expecting to worship God in a way that offers renewal, rest, joy, forgiveness, and meaning to their lives. People join us on Sunday mornings virtually now, expecting still that God will meet them where they are. And God will. And even though most of us would say that's enough, the truth is most of us want even more. We want God to meet us in the manner in which we're most comfortable or in the manner we find most appealing. Or some of us, in the manner that other people would approve of. Some of us want God to meet us in jeans and a t-shirt, smelling like grandma's kitchen, gathering us up in loving arms and assuring us everything is going to be all right. Some of us prefer that our worship service be like an audience with royalty. We like to see our God as Christ the Victor, wearing robes and a crown and ushering in God's dominion. Some of us wouldn't recognize God in either of these forms, but can always find God in the glow of a candle's flame or silence. During the month of July, as we always do, we've invited God to be glorified in scripture, sermon, sacrament, song, and more song, specifically the songs of the musical stage of Broadway. This can be a challenge to people who feel a bit uncomfortable about the faithfulness of creating worship services around themes suggested by musical theater. To all of you worried about that, I want to say, bear with us. Give it a chance. Allow yourself an opportunity to encounter God in the here and now, even if it looks different, sounds different, feels different. For you see, when we seek, we find, and as we open ourselves up to experiencing the divine in more ways, we will. I believe that God can bless us through the music and lyric and rhythm of Broadway just as surely as God blesses us through the psalms and the hymns sprinkled throughout the Old and New Testament. God will meet us anywhere, anytime, in any way that we are open to God's presence. I wanted to say that today because one of the most common statements hearing these days is from people that are experiencing various levels of spiritual crisis, or at least spiritual doubts, or spiritual malaise, spiritual depression. Virtual church is not meeting their needs. Virtual hugs and words on a screen or spoken through a phone are not meeting their needs. They feel like they are dying spiritually. What do I do, they ask. Well, first, I don't have an answer, but I have some thoughts. Just like we offer our Broadway series each July, we believe that God can come to us anytime we are open to God's presence, through any medium, through any avenues that we open up, through any door that we leave open. I want to assure you that that's true during this time of quarantine and pandemic. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to have someone else praying for you. You don't have to have an intense devotional practice. You don't have to have study. You're not missing the things that allow God to draw close to you. Hear these words from Brother David Stendhal Rast. He's a Benedictine monk who says, "Sometimes people get the mistaken notion that spirituality is a separate department of life, the penthouse of our existence. But rightly understood," he says, "it is a vital awareness that pervades all realms of our being." Now listen closely to this part. Someone will say, "I come alive when I listen to music," or "I come alive when I garden," or even "I come alive when I play golf, when I cook, when I sew, when I read stories to my children." Wherever we come alive, Stendhal Rast says, that is the area in which we are spiritual. And then we can say, "I know at least how one is spiritual in that area." To be vital, awake, aware in all areas of our lives is the task that is never accomplished but always remains the goal. Some of you aren't sure right now if your prayers count, if you're not sitting in church and hearing them read from the dais. Some of you wonder if they count, if you're sitting in the driver's seat of your car going out to get something to eat just because you're so tired of being in the house. Some of you wonder if your prayers count when you're lying in bed in the morning, not sure if you want to get up. Some of you aren't sure if your prayers count if they have no words. Yes, yes. Especially now when we cannot be together, we cannot worship together, we cannot feel the Spirit among us. The Spirit is still present in us and with us and for us. So don't be too hard on yourself in any way that you open the door for God to come in any spaces that you provide for the Spirit to help enliven you. Anything that you do that brings you joy, that brings you peace, it is of God. We're ending this morning with a beautiful song from The Phantom of the Opera. I'm sure you have not heard it the way that I'm going to ask you to hear it this morning. But when you are feeling lonely, depressed, when you miss terribly the presence of others, especially others that you worship with, think of Jesus. Last week I said, sing to yourself softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Well, this week I'm going to say this. When God feels far away, when you're not sure where God is, when you need a friend, a companion, some peace, some joy, gifts of the Spirit, think of Jesus. He always asked us to remember him. Think of Jesus.
Think of me fondly when we've said goodbye. Remember me every so often, promise me you'll try. On that day, that not so distant day, when you're far away and free, if you ever find a moment, spare a thought for me. Think of August when the trees were green. Don't think about the way things might have.